Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this second Sunday of Easter, also known as the Sunday of Divine Mercy. Today we will hear the Gospel of St. John and discuss the Word of Life for April. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
If you or people you know battle with addiction, there is help from Catholic Charities. Weekly meetings entitled Freedom in Christ, Loosening the Chains of Addiction, are conducted at the Healthy Living Center, 1125 Southport Avenue in Corpus Christi, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Additional classes are held on Wednesdays at St. Anthony's Church in Robstown and on Thursdays in Alice at Our Lady of Guadalupe Catholic Church. For complete information, call 361-687-6175. There is help.
Quality furniture, housewares, appliances, toys, sporting goods, hardware, and much more will be on display at the rummage sale at St. Thomas the Apostle Parish Hall in Robstown. The dates are Friday and Saturday, April 26th and 27th from 8:30 a.m. till 4 p.m. both days. Proceeds benefit not only the parish, but the youth group as well. St. Thomas the Apostle Church may be found at 16602 FM 624, just 5 miles from Five Points. To donate items or have your questions answered, call John Harris at 361-946-9104.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well, Barbara. How are you? And happy Easter again.
I know. We have that octave of Easter, right. And then for the next several weeks, we're continue to be in the Easter season,
all the way to Pentecost.
So. I know. It's a beautiful
happy
time
Easter
of
Happy Easter again
year.
For those who have not heard the greeting before. So happy Easter.
It's wonderful. Well, we have a beautiful gospel this morning from St. John. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. And he said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "You have come to believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, this is one of the first of the post-resurrection appearances, because there have been several, which we'll be hearing about in the next couple of weeks.
Right.
And when I was doing some research on this, you know, in the very beginning of this gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, "Peace be with you." And one of the resources that I was using said that the peace that Jesus offers to the fear-filled disciples will be received when the disciples believe the Easter good news.
Yes, that's a very good way to put it. And it's, you know, there's a real logic to the beginning of this gospel when you see locked doors and fear. Mm-hmm. Those are, you know, also on a spiritual level and a psychological level. I mean, whenever there is fear in our life of anything, we or any person or any situation, and sometimes a fear of our own self, we lock ourselves away, mm-hmm. either in our room physically or just lock ourselves into our own little world.
Shut down a little bit.
Shut down. You can be in the midst of a crowd and kind of have this locked-in feeling, this lack of being able to go beyond yourself. And this is an expression I was very impressed that our new Pope Francis used during Holy Week, saying that we have to learn to go beyond ourselves. A very common kind of term, just go beyond ourselves through charity, through reaching out to others. But it's this fear of whatever kind that locks us in and prevents us from being in rapport with God and rapport with one another, which is a dehumanizing effect of life, because we are created to be in rapport with God and with each other. So Jesus comes into that kind of a situation. Individually, these disciples are locked in to themselves, and fear has kind of caught hold of them, but also as a group, they know that they're facing many others who don't understand who they are and what they have encountered. And so there's this great fear cast into the room. But Jesus comes into that experience, and it's not just a greeting, peace be with you, but it's, as you said, mentioned from this this commentary, that this is the peace of the post-resurrection. This is the peace that only he can give. It's a peace that goes right to the depth and the heart of the human person. So, you know, calling for peace is one thing. You know, you have two enemies or two, even with parents, they have two children fighting, and just one. My dad used to say, he's one little peace in this house, you know.
Right.
And that means the absence of some kind of struggle or verbal yelling at each other. But this is not the peace that Jesus is speaking of. That is implied. But it's the peace that goes right to that fear and enters in. And that's the post-resurrection. That's the resurrected Jesus' gift to us. It's beautiful, you know, at the beginning of our liturgies, this is where all this comes from, when the priest says, "The Lord be with you," or "May the peace of Almighty God be with you." The bishop, that's the greeting that the bishop uses, "Peace be with you." It's the peace that Jesus can give us, and it's the one that goes right to the heart of that fear. It's a peace that also instills faith, you know, calling out that they go beyond themselves. When you've unleashed or untied the fear, then you're free to move. And that's why the next part of this first paragraph, these first verses, is, "As the Father has sent me, I send you." If you're filled with fear, if you're locked into yourself, if you've isolated yourself, you're not sent. You are, but you're not going. And so it's this peace that Christ gives us that unlocks the chains of the fear of life or the fear of a situation to be sent to go to others. You know, I always remember that the image of Mother Teresa in war-torn Beirut many years ago when she walked out into the middle of the fighting to go assist the people on the other side. I forget which side she said it was, but she wanted to go across the town where the fighting was raging on the other side. And, of course, everyone was trying to stop her. But she had no fear. I mean, she had this sense that peace liberated her to go to her brothers and sisters. So she had that sense of being sent. And even the Holy Spirit, you know, in that sense, gives her that courage, which is one of the gifts of the Spirit, and the wisdom to say, as long as they're suffering people, that's where I am sent. And this is really the mission, the goal of all Christians, whether it's in the family, you know, that parents are sent, you know, not to say, okay, let's stop fighting, but let's also love one another. So But we need to get beyond this self, which is locked in with fear, understand the resurrected Christ who empowers us with his life in the Holy Spirit, and then we are sent to go and bring peace, bring love to others. And this is the whole mandate of Easter, really, for the church.
Well, Jesus was commissioning the disciples to carry on his mission.
Exactly.
That he'd had while he was on earth.
And look at how many people, you know, he liberated, or his just life is passing by. The woman with the hemorrhages, I mean, she was locked into this horrible disease and situation, and she said, if I can only touch the hem of his cloak, I will be cured, I will be released. And this is that all that he had done throughout his life. And so you're right, in the post-resurrection, after the resurrection, he's now saying, now you go and bring that same peace. Mm-hmm. But you know, when we go into situations and we're battling and we're arguing and we're throwing around verbiage and, you know, trying to settle things, what these situations need is that same calm, I would say, that same sense of Jesus coming into a room and saying, peace. I've come to bring peace. And again, it's when we understand that this is the peace that is the one that goes straight to the heart of people. I always think sometimes it's silence, you know, just right. A person who's silent, not in a judgmental way, but a person who can be silent and listen to the others, try to understand their concerns, try to understand their fears. Because fears make us act in all sorts of different ways and strange ways.
Right.
But a person who can, in a certain way, absorb that and understand the fears, and certainly Jesus is able to understand these fears because he's lived through them with us as a human being. But he's beyond that now. He's in a new life. And so he wants to bring back to the disciples then and to the disciples now, to us, and say, in your fears, whatever your fears are, come to me. And I can give you that peace which will release you and free you so that you can be my presence in every situation.
So it seems to me that these post-resurrection appearances, Jesus is continuing to teach us.
Exactly right, sure. And then you'll find, we will find, you know, this is why we read the letters of St. Paul, et cetera, because you see the Holy Spirit unleashed in their lives as the early missionaries, St. Peter, Paul, and throughout the church's life. I mean, in so many different people, in so many different expressions, you really kind of wonder, you know, where do these people get the courage, get the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge to be able to do these things? It's from the Holy Spirit that the resurrected Lord gives us, and that's why he said, it is good that I go, return to the Father, because if I don't go, the paraclete, the advocate, the Holy Spirit cannot come. But we have to ground ourselves in this experience that the apostles had of encountering Jesus with his peace, knowing that our foundation of our life is there with him. And just before our break, real quickly, I mean, then you have Didymus, Thomas, who didn't believe, you know, kind of this.
He had to see to believe.
He had to see. But then when he does, he believes.
Right.
And, of course, that wonderful statement, or blessed are you, Thomas, because you have seen and you believe, but blessed more are those who have not seen and yet believe. And that is our role today, to encounter Christ in the Spirit, to encounter him not just with head knowledge, but in a true heart-to-heart encounter with him where we understand that he is peace. He is our life. He is the one who can dispel all of our fears.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful gospel to have the week after Easter. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will have the Word of Life for April. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Ireland, so rich in history, tradition, and faith, in this year of faith declared by Pope Benedict XVI. You're invited to visit with us this land of natural beauty, rich culture, countless castles and cathedrals from Galway to Dublin. We'll visit Knock, the site of visions, apparitions, and miraculous cures. This is an opportunity for spiritual renewal and to share experiences with friends both old and new. This is Monsignor Leonard Pavanka, pastor of St. Elizabeth of Hungary Catholic Church in Alice. Our pilgrimage to the land of St. Patrick begins September 17th, and you can be part of this journey of faith. To hear all about it, call Norma Langford at the parish office, 361-664-6481.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Bishop, it is the first Sunday in April, and we are going to have the Word of Life for April.
Yes, and I would just like to connect it to what we're doing because, when Jesus comes in and says, "Peace be with you, and as I have been sent, you are sent, receive the Holy Spirit." I mean, all that's beautiful talk and very spiritual, but it's also has to be translated into human life, and I would say, you know, even more so just in human relationships and how we, that's where peace really is manifested in the works that we have and how we treat one another. So I think this Word of Life really challenges us every day with things that pop up all the time.
Well, it's our reality. It's our day-to-day.
It's our reality, exactly. So the Word of Life is from St. James in the 5th chapter, verse 9, which says, "Beloved, do not grumble against one another." So I would challenge all of us, myself included, and in fact myself first, is to try to live this month, living the resurrection, Easter, living that peace that Christ right. gives us by not grumbling against one another. And let's listen to the commentary of how she puts that. "In order to understand this Word of Life better, we should consider the circumstances that brought it about. In the Christian communities in which this letter was directed, problems were cropping up, such as scandalous behavior, discrimination, selfish use of wealth, exploitation of workers, faith expressed more in words than in works, and so on. These created tensions within the community and led to resentment and discord. Beloved, do not grumble against one another. Even in the first century, there were situations similar to what we find in our communities today. In fact, the greatest difficulties in living our faith are often not those that come from outside the community, from the world, but those that come from within, from situations arising from the behavior of our fellow members who are not living according to the Christian ideal. These can cause us uneasiness, mistrust, and perplexity. Beloved, do not grumble against one another." These contradictions and inconsistencies, which can be more or less serious, are the result of a faith that is not always enlightened by a love for God and neighbor that is not yet perfect. A Christian should not react hastily, however, by being impatient and uncompromising, but rather follow what Jesus taught. He tells us to wait patiently. He asks for understanding and mercy, which will help develop the good seed that was planted in us, as the parable of the weeds illustrates. Beloved, do not grumble against one another. How then should we live this Word of Life? It asks us to face a difficult aspect of Christian life. We too belong to various communities, the family, the parish, the workplace, the civic community, associations of various kinds, where, unfortunately, many things take place that don't seem right to us. It might be a matter of different temperaments, points of view, ways of behavior, and inconsistencies that sadden us and provoke us to react against them. There will be many opportunities to live this Word of Life. Instead of grumbling or passing judgment, as we would be tempted to do, we can be tolerant and understanding. We might even be able to correct others with love. Above all, we can give our Christian witness and respond to the failures of others to love and to live up to their commitments by making a greater effort ourselves, especially having greater love. by Kiara Lubick.
I love the word grumble, you know, and it's so interesting that, you know, it was used, you know, in the Bible, but that's so true. You know, we do grumble, you know,
grumble,
nitpicky and little things, making mountains out of molehills.
We can grumble from within.
Right.
We can grumble out loud. We can grumble with other people. We can grumble in front of a community. We grumble all the time.
Right.
Just meaning that we're dissatisfied with something, which she explains very well there. There's something that's going on within the community, within ourselves, within our families, and it's painful at times, and I certainly wouldn't want to overlook that. These things can be painful. But this grumbling means we're not facing it. We're not willing to turn to the gospel, turn to this encounter with Christ, and to realize that in those situations, I love what she says here, that of being patient and being kind mm-hmm. with a greater love. You know, because many times we fight dogs with dogs.
Right.
And the gospel teaches us to be upright enough to be as convinced of in faith of who we are and who we are called to be in Christ, to live the gospel in such a way that we don't use the same tactics that others do, which can be very compromising to peace in our world and our relationships, which we talked about in the first part of our program, when Jesus brings us peace.
Well, and I, as I was listening to you read this, I step back and think it'd probably be good for all of us to step back and say, why am I making this situation bigger than what it may be?
Right,
What are my motives? Because in a lot of ways, there may be motives behind it, and we need to step back in that quiet and really think about it.
Absolutely. And you know, some people, there's always something else going on in a person's life when they make something so big. Something so small becomes so big because something else is going on,
right,
or some unresolved issue from the past in their life. And so we look for the smallest things in a person. That's where we seek out the failures of others. We seek out what we perceive to be an injustice or something. And it just becomes so huge. And that's where the unrest, the discontent of the person that's causing these things becomes greater and greater. And we lack then that greater love, which is beyond the cross, which is resurrection. And so we have no experience of resurrection then. We're caught, mm-hmm. we're trapped in our own web that we have created. And there you see where human pride at times says it's hard to get out of this, and so I'll lose face. And so we get deeper and deeper and deeper, and our whole life is marred and really covered with this kind of an issue. And all it takes is a simple, do not grumble against one another. Come to the light, come to Christ. Let's reconcile, let's be at peace. And life goes on as something beautiful. The other thing I would like to point out, since it is Divine Mercy Sunday and we have this beautiful gospel of Jesus giving us his life and also celebrating mercy, but one of the things in the writings of St. Faustina, who brought us this this feast day or this devotion, which Pope John Paul II declared to be on the second, the Sunday after Easter, which was part of her understanding from the revelations. But she even says there that this mercy that God has given us and that he invites us to, the mercy that really pierces into the heart and the soul of a person, and you can see the examples of that mercy with Jesus meeting the woman caught in adultery, the Good Samaritan showing mercy right. to the other person. It's not just some little kind act, but it's really a connection between people. But in her writing, she does say that mercy has to be seen. It has to be real. And I would just like to point out to us and our listeners, you know, what the works of mercy are. There are two types. There are corporal works of mercy, and there are spiritual works of mercy. And it would be just, I think, helpful to us to just go through them real quickly. We probably won't stop, but I think also just examine our own selves, and I just see in our community here with so many different agencies and people and organizations that really accomplish some of these things, and I think there's some we lack. So let's just listen to it as kind of a meditation. So the corporal works of mercy are to feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, shelter the homeless, care for the sick, visit the imprisoned, and bury the dead. Those are corporal, physical things that we can do. And these show that the mercy of God is in our life, and we want to share that mercy, which is also the peace of God, with others. The spiritual works of mercy, sometimes these are a little more difficult to do, but they are works of mercy. To admonish sinners. I won't comment. Sometimes it's hard. We run the other way.
Right.
To instruct the ignorant. To counsel the doubtful. Comfort the sorrowful. Bear wrong patiently. And that's what we were talking about earlier. When we grumble against one another, we're not willing to bear a wrong.
Gracefully.
Truly a wrong or perceived wrong patiently. Forgive injuries. It's a big one. And to pray for the living and the dead. We do forget to pray for each other at times, and especially we need to remember to always pray for the dead. I'd like to end this part of talking about mercy with the quote from the prophet Micah in the 6th chapter, where he says, do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God.
That's beautiful. Tomorrow, which is Monday, April the 8th, is the Annunciation of the Lord.
Yes. It was transferred because it is the 25th of March every year, 9 months before December 25th. Mm-hmm. So it really is a feast of the Incarnation, and it's been transferred because it was during Holy Week, and then not putting it into Easter week because we have to celebrate Easter, which now transferred to Monday, April the 8th, which is tomorrow. So we will be celebrating in our liturgies and our prayers the Feast of the Annunciation. I want to take this opportunity to wish the Sisters of the Incarnate Word and others, congregations who have this feast as a part of their foundation. So happy feast day, especially to the Sisters of the Incarnate Word and Blessed Sacrament.
Well, because they definitely do the corporal and the spiritual works of mercy.
Right, exactly.
Well, thank you, Bishop. So if you could end our session this morning, please, with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. God of everlasting mercy, who in the very recurrence of the Paschal Feast, kindle the faith of the people you have made your own. Increase, we pray, the grace you have bestowed, that all may grasp and rightly understand in what font they have been washed, by whose spirit they have been reborn, and by whose blood they have been redeemed. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.